Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there's plenty of it. We're going to start with Trump's impeachment trial. The Senate has agreed to delay it till next Tuesday. Let the Trump people try to defend themselves. Next Tuesday, it starts. Here is the status. Yesterday, the Democrats had filed a brief, over 80 pages. It was excellent. It laid it out in great detail, laid out the context of what Trump said. We're going to get into that in this show a little later, and how that really was the match that lit the insurrection. And he also provided the gasoline. Trump had a fight with his lawyers. He substituted lawyers within the last week. He now has a guy named David Shane. Now, this is a guy who had represented organized crime. Now, everybody's entitled to a defense, and the fact that a lawyer represents somebody isn't necessarily a reflection on the lawyer. But cases are different, and organized crime defense is a very special kind of case. And I don't know that you want that. In fact, I'll tell you, you don't want that defending a president who's up for his second impeachment. They filed, Shane and his team filed, about a 14-page brief. It was a hasty job. Now, I've seen this, what I'm about to tell you, in cases that I've handled over the last 40 years. And our side never did it, but I've seen other lawyers do it. They have to wait till the last minute because he wasn't retained until within the last week, in fact, over the weekend. So he put together a rush job. And one of the things that you teach lawyers in the first year of law school is before you put something into court, before you file it. Nowadays, you post it electronically, but in the old days, you'd file it physically, a paper document. Here, he probably did both. You read it. That's pretty basic. You read it over, you proofread it. He didn't do that. And on the first page at the very top of the brief filed by Trump, they misspelled United States. They misspelled United States. Spelled United, U-N-I-T-E-S. They misspelled it. Now, is that a substantive issue? No. But it sets the tone of sloppiness. It sets the tone of a rush job. And it sets the tone, really, for what this is all about. Now, here's what it's all about. In a normal jury trial, you would go in. There would usually be 12 jurors and two alternates. The 14 jurors. Only 12 of them get to vote. And this is a sad thing. I've seen this happen in a number of trials. The jurors will sit there, 14 of them, and they'll listen to the evidence, and they all think they're going to decide the vote. This is in a trial in state court, typically, can be in federal court too, and not an impeachment. At the end, the judge says, well, I'm sorry, only 12 of you can deliberate. So two of you are going to have to go home before you deliberate, and we're going to draw lots. And they put 14 numbers or the jurors' names in a hat. He pulls two of them out, and he says, you know, Mr. Jones and Ms. Smith, you're dismissed. And they say, I just sat here for 3 weeks listening to this stuff. I want to be part of this. Sorry, out you go, and the bailiff escorts them out. That's a civil and criminal jury in Wisconsin and elsewhere. In this so-called jury trial, you have peculiar hybrid jurors. You have U.S. senators. There's 100 of them. But unlike jurors in a Wisconsin civil or criminal trial, they are not only the jurors, they're also the judge, and they're also the judge for any dispute about evidence and any dispute about anything. And they can decide to dismiss it, and they can decide to do whatever they want. And there's a presiding judge which for a sitting president is the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts. In this case, John Roberts used a sneaky tactic to get out of it. He said, well, yes, it's an impeachment, and yes, it's the conviction phase of the impeachment trial. But, you know, it's not a sitting president because he's not president anymore. He's in Mar-a-Lago golfing. He stopped being president on January 20th at noon, so I don't have to sit in on it. And everybody, any legal scholar would say, but Your Honor, when he was impeached, he was the president of the United States. And what he's impeached for is conduct as president of the United States that is as serious and criminal as it can get, even though it doesn't even have to be a criminal offense, by fomenting an insurrection against his own government. Another branch of government, the Congress and the Capitol. But no, Roberts snuck out of it because it's very highly politicized. Hey, but guess what, Roberts? Every impeachment is politicized. You don't think Andrew Johnson's impeachment after the Civil War and after Lincoln was assassinated and after Johnson interfered with Reconstruction, you don't think that was politicized? That was politicized more than this one. You don't think the one with Nixon was politicized, that the threat that drove him out before somebody like the Chief Justice had to come in, that was a political environment. And the crooked impeachment of Bill Clinton, one of the great presidents of the 20th century. I rank him, well, Roosevelt's first, but then you have Truman, Kennedy, him. Some people say Reagan. I don't agree with that, but he was in for 8 years and so on. That was political. The Clinton impeachment was political. So there's political. So what? Anyway, he's not doing it. So guess who's doing it? Patrick Leahy, the Democratic senator from Vermont. And that's because he went into the Senate in 1974, if you can believe that. So he's been in 46, 47 years. And he's the president pro tem of the Senate, which is simply the guy who's been in the longest in the majority party. That's the president pro tem of the Senate. Before, when the Republicans had it, was Grassley. He's about, what, 88 or 89 years old. He's losing his marbles. I mean, he and Feinstein, you know, find people personally, time to put them out to pasture, time to give them a gold watch, thank them, and out they amble into the pasture. He doesn't have it all. And thank God he's no longer president pro tem of the Senate. So it's going to be Patrick Leahy. Well, Patrick Leahy, you might think, well, that's pretty biased and, you know, one party gets to run the thing because the Chief Justice chickens out. Well, no. I mean, first of all, he's a fair guy. And secondly, he has no power. It's really ceremonial. Somebody can say, say they bring a witness in and somebody says, I object to this witness. It's not relevant. In a jury trial, a judge in Wisconsin would be the one who ruled on that. Yes or no. But not in this one. In this one, the Senate rules. They can decide, the majority, do I want to hear from this person or not? And is that question relevant or not? They're the judges as well as the jury. So it's going to go before 100 of them. Now, it requires 2/3 to convict Trump. And the reason we want to convict Trump, even though he's no longer in, is because then you can bring a vote to bar him from running for public office, federal public office, including the presidency, ever again. And that only requires 51%, which we have. So to get there, we have to have the hurdle of convicting him in this conviction phase of the impeachment by 67 votes. Why? It's 2/3. Guys, 2/3. We only have 50 Democratic votes. That requires 17 more Republicans. And if you had fair Republicans, honest Republicans, patriots like we had in the past, I think we'd get it. But in this case, we have five. And we have five who voted against dismissing the impeachment and that preliminary vote that Randy Paul of Kentucky forced everybody to vote on. Randy Paul. And Randy Paul put that to everybody. And who are the five? Well, Mitt Romney's one of them. Ben Sasse of Nebraska is one. Toomey of Pennsylvania, who's not running again, so he has no skin in the game, he's one. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, is one. She can't stomach a lot of this stuff. And Susan Collins, one of the slipperiest, you know, she's the only Republican in either chamber I would say she's the only Republican senator in New England right now. The only Republican senator in New England. And I think she may be, the only Republican member of Congress in New England, including the House. New York's not in New England for anybody who's wondering about that. Okay, so we have five, so we'll get 55 votes. That's not good enough. We need 67. Where are the other 12 coming from? Do you think Wormwood? Lindsey Graham? Little corrupt Lindsey Graham, the sneaky little rat who jumps back and forth? No, not him. You know that. You know that. Cruz? The lizard man from Texas? You think he's going to do it? You think Hawley's going to do it? He's voted against every, he's the only senator to vote against every cabinet appointment of Biden. Everyone. Josh Hawley. Everyone. So the fact is that it's going to be a very, very difficult undertaking to get 67 votes. But it's important to go through this for two reasons. One is we have to make the historical point and put it to all the voters so they see what their senators did when they're up for re-election. And number two, the fact is that once all the terrible facts are out in front of God and everybody, the murder of the one police officer, the jabbing out of the eye of another, brain damage of several others, that will put a lot of pressure on the Republicans. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.